the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Secret Podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site, covering the Arizona Cardinals, and with me for our first preview show of the week, for the second time this week, is co-host Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation Arizona Cardinals site, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast, Seth. This is Cardinals Texans, a game that we thought was going to be the Tank Bowl way back in the day. But now on episode 487, we get to talk about what is a super intriguing matchup. And in terms of with Kyler Murray back, it feels almost like a bit of measuring stick early on. The Falcons, that home game against a team that's kind of inconsistent. What you've got now, we've got a road game against a team they've never beaten in Houston that feels like they are at least a year ahead of their rebuild because C.J. Stroud is doing so well. So, Seth, so we start this, our preview picks and prop bets show. As we preview this, Seth, what is your feeling about kind of what the game's narrative is and what it means for the Cardinals this week?
You know, I think it's just one of those games where they need to figure out if they can slow down a good defense, right? A good offense. And that's been a really tough task for anybody playing the Houston Texans. So it's not just going to be the Cardinals, right? It's any team and so the Cardinals get that chance this week. I mean, C.J. Stroud's been a complete revelation. I mean, if you listen to the draft podcast, you know, everybody knew he was our quarterback one, but nobody within their wildest dreams expected him to be this good. I mean,
well, this good this early, right? That's kind of thing. Right. Nobody expected him to be this good this early. And I didn't even watch him much, but the one time I saw him was at the end of that Tampa game. And, like, I knew that he threw an accurate ball. But holy cow, Tampa's defense, what were they doing? But he just carves up. His ball placement, his accuracy, it's next level, especially for a rookie. And, you know, we thought maybe Justin Fields would be the guy to finally toss aside the Ohio State quarterback failures. No, I think it's C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, and so that's just been a kind of a revelation, because what everybody kind of expected this season and why they expected, you know, this to be a battle of to get the first pick in the draft was because of everybody expected him to be a rookie quarterback, maybe not to the negative level we've seen of Bryce Young, but, you know, to be a rookie quarterback. Nobody expected him to be a legitimate contender for a top 10 quarterback, let alone the fact that he's a legitimate, you know, MVP candidate at this time with what he's done from a production standpoint. I mean, 15 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions, over 2,600 yards passing. You know, his completion percentage is probably his weakest thing at just above 61%, but that's okay because he's not turning the ball over. So his inaccurate throws aren't throws that are turnover throws, they're just throwaways, or they're missing his target, which is better than what we've seen. You know, so I think everybody expected what they're doing on defense, which is just kind of average to below average in a lot of scenarios, because like the Cardinals, they lacked a lot of talent. And, you know, the Cardinals could have gone a similar route and taken a Will Anderson Jr., who's been, you know, a really good player for the Texans, but they decided, and I think you and I would say in the rightfully so, they decided to go after, you know, the bulk of more picks next year. And yeah, it just,
well, that, you know, and that it, on top of that, this is, like, I always felt that Will Anderson pick was a home run pick. How could you go wrong with that player in that position and with that impact? However, when you still get a Paris Johnson plus what they get on top of that, I am also not sad about that at all.
No, not at all. And so, you know, it's been interesting because I think the defense is performing how everyone kind of expected for the Texans, but their offense is so far and away exceeding expectations that there's really nothing that you can say or kind of explain away from it. And what I mean by that is you look at the fact that their, you know, leading receiver is Nico Collins, who, you know, he's still a young player. I think it's third year in the league. But I mean, he never had more than 480 yards in a season. Right. And he's already at 631. They have Tank Dell, who, you know, I talked about on this show.
He's a stud. Holy crap.
Yeah, that had a lot of potential, but yeah, he's exceeded even my expectations. You know, he's on pace for close to 1,000 yards, which is impressive. And then you look at it, they've got a guy like Noah Brown, who's producing at a rate that he didn't even do in, you know, in college. Justin and I talked about that the other night. You know, if you go to his profile, his collegiate profile, and just kind of look at what Noah Brown did, his high at Ohio State was 72 yards.
Oh my gosh.
And so he's playing so far out in front of his skis, you know, where, you know, and he had a good season last year with Dallas at 555 total yards in 16 games. You know, it's a really strong game. Or a really strong season for a seventh round pick. But you look at his last 2 weeks, over 300 yards receiving. Like, that's like, that was basically his career at Ohio State. And so to see him do it, you know, at the NFL level, the way he has been crazy. And so that's kind of the revelation, because, you know, are they running the ball? Well, I mean, they're okay. They don't have a running back averaging over 4 yards a carry.
No, Damian Pierce has been, as you know, honestly, as we see running backs often do, young running backs will come in and flash, and then the next year are not as efficient. I think that's kind of a normal thing to do. Not like Damian Pierce is having a bad year. He hasn't been the slightly special player that he was as a rookie, because he came out of nowhere. Devin Singletary, obviously, you know, the Bills moved on. He's talented, but like, he put up 150 yards and was offensive player of the week when Pierce was out. But he's got, like, in the 8 games before last week, he had 210 yards.
Right. And so you look at it, you know, and even last week, he only averaged 5 yards a carry. I mean, 30 carries to get 150 yards. Holy 1999, right? Like, that's not anything you expect anymore. And so, like, to see it happen the way it did, you know, it's, like we said, it's a little different, and they're going about it in a different way than we expected, with names outside of Tank Dell that have never produced at this level. And so you don't know if it's one of those situations where it's going to come crashing down because, you know, it's not sustainable, or it's like CJ Stroud's so good that
it's like the Andrew Luck effect. Is he an Andrew Luck type prospect where he just elevates him? Like, the Colts had two quarterbacks like that, Peyton Manning, where you took him off the team and they were hot garbage. Since Andrew Luck, and when they tried to replace Andrew Luck after that, the Colts were kind of hot garbage. And maybe CJ Stroud is if that's crazy to say after half a season, maybe he is in fact that impactful a quarterback to be able to do that.
But there's also the reality that he might be having the greatest rookie season we've ever seen. So, and that's not even hyperbole. Like, he might be having the best rookie quarterback season that we've ever seen. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's just wild to see what he's done with and who he's done it with, because nobody, if he struggled, and by struggle, I mean, like, if he was just putting up ancillary rookie numbers that we've seen out of top picks, like if you go back, you know, to 2021 and Trevor Lawrence, right? Like, nobody would have a problem with it. They'd be like, oh yeah, he's a rookie. Let's see how he develops. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, 3,600 yards, 12 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. And, you know, nobody would have a problem with that. Right. And you look at it, and what he's doing is just so, I mean, you genuinely cannot say enough about it, because it's just, one, so unexpected, but two, he's just been so good that you just kind of shrug your shoulders, because you don't, from a breakdown standpoint, you're like, I just don't know what to expect, because again, we've just never seen anything like it before.
Other things that we can look at is we preview the Texans. You'd think that with a team coached by DeMeco Ryans, that defensively they would be better. Like, based on what we saw from San Francisco, right, we would expect them to be a good defensive team. Does the scheme that they have, is it failing in the pass game? I don't want to say failing, but if we look at their pass defense, which is not spectacular, if we look at their passing yards allowed, they are in the bottom third. They're giving up 246 passing yards per game. Let's pull the pass defense up.
They're 21 in pass defense.
And they are allowing passer rating 24. And they're allowing a passer rate of 93.5. Now, granted, I don't like looking at that. There's the Cardinals there at the bottom next to the, just ahead of the Broncos with a passer rating allowed of 101. So we're seeing, you know, quarterbacks be awesome on the regular.
Yeah, but, and that's just the reality of it, right? Like, they just struggle to find consistency, because they don't rush the passer extremely well. Their corners right now are just okay. They're not anything spectacular. And so with those things, I mean, you kind of get this uneven play, you know, from a consistency standpoint. So it makes sense. I mean, their corners, Steven Nelson, I think he came over from Pittsburgh, right? Yes. Yeah, he was in Pittsburgh for a long, he's been around forever. Jeez.
He has. He played for Cleveland too, I think.
KC, Pittsburgh, Philly, Houston.
Okay.
So he's been around like forever. You know, Shaq Griffin, he was the one that was in Seattle for a while, and then Jacksonville, and you know, he's kind of a guy, you know, not bad by any means, but and so, like, you look at it, and then their backers are okay. They got Henry Tuatoa, who's kind of underperformed. You know, he probably shouldn't be starting. He's a fifth round rookie, but you know, he plays a lot of snaps for them. Blake Cashman is another one. I think he's a young guy, you know, and he's just been kind of okay. Never been a real starter in his career, you know, and now he's starting for them at linebacker. So you just got a lot of guys that similar to the Cardinals. I mean, if we're being honest, right? Like just a lot of guys that probably shouldn't be starting, but are. Denzel Perryman's suspended. He's probably, you know, best is a strong word, their most veteran linebacker presence. Christian Harris is another one. Like, you know, they're just kind of a lot of just guys out there. And so from that perspective, it's not shocking that their defense is not great. And it's kind of like what you're seeing in Arizona right now. It's just the fact that you've got talent. I mean, you got Jonathan Greenard, who's been a revelation from them. You know, he was a third round pick in 2020, coming into his own finally. He leads the team with 7 sacks. And obviously we know about Will Anderson Jr. not putting up the sack totals that maybe people had hoped, but he's, you know, doing a nice job as a pass rusher, but he's been really, really good against the run and helping that run defense, which I think is top 10, right?
Yes, I want to say so because they've been.
Yeah, so they're eighth in yards, but they're third in yards per attempt. So that's, I mean, so those are the big things that you look at. Like their defense is just not, it just lacks talent. And as Cardinals fans, we know that, but their quarterback play has been so good. This is the crazy stat. This is like the craziest stat. Their rush offense, and you would assume with any rookie quarterback at all, you would need a strong rushing offense. Their rushing offense is 30th in yards per attempt and 25th in yards. But CJ Stroud's been so good. They're second in passing yards and third in net yards per attempt passing, which is, you know, passes minus sacks. And so it's just insane that they're throwing the ball so well and they don't play good defense and they don't run the ball well and they're 5-4.
Yeah. That's the thing that's fun. Well, and let's kind of look over then they've beaten some good teams. That's the thing.
I mean, they beat down Jacksonville, yes, and Pittsburgh.
Now Pittsburgh's a weird team this year because they've been outgamed in every game. And still have a winning record.
I was going to say, but they're 6-3. I mean, and when Houston beat them, they beat them 30-6.
Yes.
And so, then, by the way, they followed that up by losing to Atlanta the next week.
Yes. So they squeezed by New Orleans, who's been
up and down. Yeah.
They lost to the freaking Panthers.
Yeah.
It took a miracle drive by
CJ Stroud.
By CJ Stroud to beat the Buccaneers. They were in control of that Bengals game because at the very end the Bengals only managed to tie it. And
like you said, their wins that are impressive have been the Jacksonville Pittsburgh Cincy game where they kind of just controlled things from snap to snap. And it's interesting to look at those games because outside of the Tampa game, the Jacksonville game, they didn't run the ball very well, only 86 yards. But that Pittsburgh game, 139 yards rushing. Oh, by the way, they usually don't turn the ball over in those games either, in games either. But they had 139 yards rushing. And then in the Cincy game, 188 yards rushing. And so – and you look at their total yardage, over 450 in both games. Like, that's the crazy thing, is that those games where they are kind of in control, and like you said, since he made it close at the end, they do just such a good job offensively. And that's just the craziest thing to me, is that if you go by the – forget what they call it, the expected win, you know, loss and stuff like that. They're right there where they're supposed to be because their offense has been so good outside of the first game, but their defense hasn't been good. And so they're winning games by putting up points. And, you know, I talked with the guys over at Battle Red Blog, and that's kind of what they said. They're like, you know, we're in a similar situation to you guys in that we really don't know what to expect because it's only Kyler's second game back. And, you know, like Jess and I, you know, we're hoping that he continues that upward trend that he had, but you know, it is still knocking rust off time as well. Right. So we wouldn't be surprised if he didn't have a great game, but you look at it. I mean, what game have they held anybody down? Pittsburgh and Carolina. Like, those are the only two games defensively where you're like, oh, this defense looks good. I mean, the other games, they're from passable to awful.
Right.
And
they beat, like, I don't know how they beat the Saints because the Saints put up 430 yards and only had 13 points.
Two turnovers. I mean, that's the thing. When you really boil the NFL down, the talent disparity is usually not big enough that you can turn the ball over. The Saints threw an interception and they fumbled the ball. They also had 7 penalties in that game, but it's crazy. I mean, you look at it, like you said, 430 yards of total offense, 24 first downs. They only gave up 2 sacks, but they turned the ball over twice. They had 7 penalties, and they were 0-for-2 on fourth down conversions. But they held the ball for 31.5 minutes of the game compared to 28.5 minutes. And by the way, Houston was 4-of-11 on third down and still won the game. Like, it's one of those kind of games that you go back and you're just like, I just don't. And it's why, I mean, you and I were joking about it earlier, right? Like, it's why you don't gamble. It's why it's dumb to gamble. I mean, you look at it, the Saints missed 2 field goals in that game. One from 37 and one from 48. And I mean, they still lost by 7. That's the craziest part. You're like, oh, that's the difference in the game. It's like, no, they were still be down by a point. Like, how do you miss 2 field goals and you still lose by a point? And then, you know, the Pittsburgh game is just one of those games where they played poorly. But, I mean, you go to the Atlanta game, they gave up 447 yards of offense to the Falcons. 447. And that was, I think, Desmond Ridder Falcons still.
Yeah, it was. It was.
And so you just, like, they're just such a Jekyll and Hyde team. And they're coming off of 2 amazing offensive performances after what was, you know, one of the most lackluster performances of the season from any offense. I mean, outside of the Cardinals-Browns game, like, that, and I think it was, no, that was a Sunday, wasn't it? The Panthers-Texans. That Panthers-Texans game was awful to watch. I mean, 225 yards of offense. The two teams combined had less than 500 yards of offense.
Yeah.
Like, it was legitimately awful to watch. and so you're like, okay, you don't expect it, especially coming off, you know, 2 games where they put up, what, 900? Oh, they put up over 1,000 yards of offense
in the last two
games. So you're like, oh, they're going to be fine. But then you look at it, and then the next week, you know, because it's still a rookie quarterback, that it's like, oh, he put up, because again, it's not like the Panthers are a good defense by any means.
No, they're not. They're not. The Panthers aren't really a good anything right now. Let's move on then. So coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web, let's move on and talk about individual matchups, keys for the Cardinals in this game in week 11. That's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. This is the second part of our preview, keys and matchups. It's very interesting to kind of look at, because the Cardinals statistically, and as I talk about what I talked about it on Will, with Will McFadden over on the second preview show, that the Cardinals defense, and maybe it was with you too, the Cardinals defense, when you look at some of the metrics, you're like, they're bad. But then you look at, like, they give up a lot of points. They give up a high passer rating. They haven't forced to take, they haven't had a turnover, a takeaway in the last 3 weeks. But you look at the yards allowed, they're very modest. They
just don't get off the field consistently.
Yeah, it's just so weird, because you look at, you know, the last four games, 318, 268, 326, and 254. Those are good defensive numbers in terms of yards, but they gave up 23, 27, 31, and 20 in those games. And so the Texans have been moving the ball extremely well. And so you look at it and you're like, can they do it? Can they slow this passing offense when they really haven't been able to, while they haven't given them a ton of yards, the quarterbacks that they've played against have played well.
Right. And it's fair. It's a fair question. And it also is why, it's why you look at this game and you look at it and you go, oh, the Texans are going to drub them, like, because of all the things you just said. The Texans are just going to drub them because they just don't have the horses to keep up. But then you look at the matchups and you kind of really dig in, right? And you're like, all right, well, I mean, does Nico Collins, who hasn't practiced, and I don't think he played last week, did he?
I don't think he did.
I'm double checking right now. You know, does Noah Brown really? I mean, yeah, I get it. They played freaking phenomenal last week. Like, the last 2 weeks. I'm not trying to take anything away from Noah Brown, but like, these guys haven't done it. You know, and Nico did not play. His last game was against the Bucs. And by the way, you look at Nico Brown. He's had one game since the Pittsburgh game when he had 168 yards. He's had one game where has more than 60 yards receiving. So, like, it's not like he'd been producing at a high level. You look at Noah Brown, again, 328 yards in two games. And then the rest of the season, you know, he's got 111 yards receiving the rest of the season. So you look at those and you go, no, I mean, there's no way Marco Wilson, Garrett Williams, Antonio Hamilton Jr., Starling Thomas can match up with Collins, Dell, and Brown if they're all on the field. But outside of Dell, none of them have been consistently good. I mean,
right.
You look at Dell, and even he's had two or three games where he's less than 20 yards receiving, but that's expected from a rookie, right? Like,
yeah,
that's expected from a third round rookie. Like, you're like, oh yeah, he's going to have highs and lows. And then you look at, again, you look at the running game
it's pedestrian. You know, their run game is not good.
Well, and like you said, 209 yards rushing for Devin Singletary in eight games, and he has 150 in one game. Like, his games from his first eight games, his high was 58. So again, it's not like we're talking about an offense that, outside of CJ Stroud, has done anything consistently. And like I said, Stroud's had off games. That's expected from any quarterback, let alone a rookie, right? Like, a rookie signal caller, I mean, he's got a 140-yard game against the Panthers, like we talked about. He's got a 199-yard game against the Falcons. But outside of that, he's been about 240-plus yards. It's just been the last 2 weeks when you talk about, you know, 826 yards passing and 6 touchdowns. But even last week against Cincy, I mean, you think about it, he had 356 yards and 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He had a sub 60% completion percentage. Like, he put up 356 yards, but it wasn't like it was like the week before where he was 71% completion, 470 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, he had a yards per attempt of 11.2, adjusted yards per attempt of 13.5, with a yard per catch of 15. Like, he had a 147.8 quarterback rating, and then followed it up with a really solid game, 87.1, which is slightly above average, right? 85, I think, is considered average for a quarterback rating. 87.1. So again, I think the big thing is they don't allow a lot of sacks. You look at a 3-game stretch against Jacksonville, Pitt, and Atlanta. They gave up 0 sacks, and even the last 4 weeks combined, they've given up 8 sacks. The first 2 games where they were just bludgeoned, 11 sacks. I mean, that's a huge thing. And since those 11 sacks, they've given up 8 the rest of the season. So that's a huge thing. By the way, there's something that coincides there that maybe you can field that one if you want. No, I'm just kidding. That's when former Arizona Cardinal Josh Jones went to the bench, by the way. It was after those first 2 games.
I mean, let's be honest, Laremy Tunsil is good.
He's good. Fantastic.
He's a fantastic player. And so, yeah.
And who's the guy on the right side?
Fant, George Fant?
No, it's not Fant, is it? I thought it was, what's his name?
Titus Howard. Oh,
Howard.
No, this year it is George Fant.
It is George Fant, you're right.
They moved Howard over to left guard.
Okay, so they put Howard in, even in front of Josh Jones. So.
Yes, Josh Jones is listed as the second team, the backup at both left tackle and left guard.
So he's the swing left side guy. Okay, and so, you know, you look at it, they've just done a great job. I mean, and George Fant hadn't been good. Shaq Mason flopped. Remember where did Shaq Mason sign his big deal from? And then he flopped because he wasn't in, I think it was Tampa Bay.
Well, didn't they trade for him?
Yeah. And he flopped, and they got, because he was, you know, phenomenal in New England, and ironically, you get out of New England and you're not good, right? You know, he's had a nice season for them. I mean, it's just crazy to see what happens when you protect the quarterback, right? And so those are some big, big things.
Oh, especially with the fact that granted, he's proven that otherwise, Stroud was believed to be kind of like a robot, but very fallible if he has to move his feet.
Right. And so that's the thing, is you give a quarterback, any quarterback time, but especially a guy with the talent of CJ Stroud, and you're seeing what's happening. So, you know, do the names Noah Brown, Nico Collins strike fear? No, not really. But has what they done, should that scare the Cardinals? Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about 3 guys that all have 140 plus yard games this season. You know, and then, like we said, hopefully this isn't a get right game. I guess technically the get right game was last week for their running game, right?
But yeah. As of right now, it's unsure whether Damian Pierce will play, because he missed Wednesday's practice and Thursday's practice. So unless, and there's always the chance of this, if they trust him enough to get 1 day of practice in and be able to play, it'll probably be Singletary again. And here's the part that I wonder about, considering he had 30 carries last week. He had 62 total carries in the previous 8 games.
Yeah.
How's that body going to react after that drastic a change in workload?
Right. It's a huge deal. And you know, like you mentioned, Damian Pierce is dealing with an ankle. Their next running back is I think it's Mike. Is it Dari Ogunbowale, or is it
one who hit the field goal?
Yeah, I know, right? I think it's Mike Boone, though.
It's Mike Boone is the who's listed third on the depth chart.
Yeah, so it's like, again, you look at it. By the way, he had no carries last week. So, you know, it's one of those situations where I just think that they kind of they're looking to ride Devin Singletary, but it's not like he's been good outside of last week. That's just, you know, so expertly spelled out. You mentioned Laremy Tunsil. Obviously, the Cardinals aren't a great pass rushing team. They do a great job of pass rushing, situational pass rushing. I think that's probably the best way to put it, right? You know, they get big sacks and big times. They don't necessarily get consistent pressure. But Dante Stills has been a revelation. Obviously, he'll be attacking from the inside. So Titus Howard, you know, those guys, he'll be taking on. And then can Victor Dimakaji, Dennis Gardeck, and, you know, the now all of a sudden incredibly hot BJ Ojulari, can those guys, you know, beat Tunsil and Fant? I don't know if they can beat Tunsil, although here's this. Laremy Tunsil has gotten a lot of penalties so far this year. 6 games, 5 penalties already. He is, I just saw it. I want to make sure I get it right. He is already in the top 15 for holding calls on the season, which is crazy to think when you're thinking about the fact that he's only played 6 games. So, like, Paris Johnson has 4. He's played 10 games. Tunsil's played 6 games, has 3. You know, and so then, you know, Shaq Mason, Tristan Howard, can they, Titus Howard, excuse me, can they beat those guys? Dante Stills especially, and continue to create havoc. Have we heard anything? I know Ledbetter's been out of practice.
It's 2 days in a row. The way that trends is usually no.
Not gonna play.
But Naquan Jones is a guy they just added to the practice squad. He will have been there all week. I wonder if he would be the guy that they bring up. Like, not like there's anything special, but
it's also one of those things too that let's knock on some wood, because for whatever reason these knuckleheads on the interior cannot stay healthy. I don't I truly don't understand why.
Yeah, it's been something. Kevin Strong, that had, you know, he's been hurt and got hurt twice during the game last week.
He tried to tough it out, couldn't do it. Yeah, it's been tough, man. And so that's a big, because I truly do think that the Cardinals can win the running game battle. Now, if it's 30 carries again, then, you know, it is what it is. But I think they can win the run game battle. They have to get pressure on Dobbs. And like I said, 8 sacks in the last 8 games, that's phenomenal. Like, or 7 games, excuse me. They did have a bye. But 8 sacks in those last seven games, like, that is legitimately phenomenal. And it coincides with the fact that they're 5-2 in those games. Like, if you don't turn the ball over and you don't take big negative plays, which is what sacks are, right? You typically don't need to worry about other things. And so those are the things. On the flip side, you know, you have to take advantage, man. Like, they don't rush the passer extremely well. They don't blitz. You know, we're looking at
Will Anderson versus Paris Johnson. That will be fun.
That's going to be a really fun one. The other one, like you mentioned earlier, Jonathan Grenard, he's got 7 sacks. Sheldon Rankins from the interior has 4 sacks. They have to be able to control those guys.
Yeah, and then it'll be maybe DJ, maybe Beecham at left tackle, and who knows, going to start a left guard. They've got 4 different guys in 9 and 10 games that have played. Oh, Tristan Colon is limited, but I wonder if they would still roll with O'Donnell, especially after after what he did last week. But yeah, that left side is going to be interesting. And here's the part where we want to focus on is Kyler. What do we get out of Kyler this game? He looked great, honestly. There was very little not to like about what Kyler did. He had the one false start, and he had the just miss to Hollywood in the end zone when I figured what the smarter play was to hit McBride in the flat when he was wide open on that third down play and to see what happened because he just missed Hollywood. And then the interception, but that was a miscommunication. He was throwing where schematically you should, and yeah. McBride was doing what he'd practiced. So
let me ask you this, looking at how the Texans line up on defense, they put in passing situations because Sheldon Rankins, their interior pass rusher, rarely plays on. I mean, he's got only 104 run defensive snaps compared to almost 200 pass rushing defensive snaps. So he's, you know, literally a pass rushing specialist. They line him up on the left side. So that's Will Anderson and Sheldon Rankins. I'm assuming Will Hernandez is going to continue to gut through and play.
He's not on the injury report. So,
right. Even though his knee looks like a balloon or whatever it is. So, Grenard, we talked about, he's their leading pass rusher. He's been their best pass rusher this year. He's got to go up against DJ or Beecham. Beecham had a great game, in that one. But Will Anderson and Sheldon Rankins against Paris Johnson Jr., Will Hernandez, that's going to be a huge matchup for the Cardinals because the thing is, and I think I wonder in those situations, unless it's like 9+, even like 8-yard situations, I wonder if they might run a little bit at Rankins because he's been so bad against the run that, and obviously we know that Hernandez's best work is in the run game. So is that something that you can take advantage of when they do bring him in? You say, oh, okay, because they don't blitz. I mean, they blitz about as often as the Cardinals do, and the Cardinals don't really blitz that often. They bring linebackers in a pass rush, but they'll drop, they'll drop an end or something like that. So I wonder if that's something that you can attack, especially with Kyler, alerting and saying like, hey, like let's run, ISO there, let's run quarterback read there, like situations like that. That'll be something just to kind of like a game within the game type situation to line up against, because I'm looking at it. I mean, 103 on the defensive left tackle and 171 on the defensive or as a left defensive end. So kind of like what we saw them do with LJ Collier, the Cardinals do, he's kind of an interior guy in the pass rushing situations. He's out, but there's also Will Anderson who's out even further than him, type of situation. So that'll be an interesting one to watch because I'm telling you, he's been legitimately awful against the run, Sheldon Rankins. And so if you get him in situations, even if it's 3rd and 7-ish, like you might be able to get 6-7 yards running right at him, which kind of changes things for you, right? Like that makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it, to then go to the next down, even if it's 4th and 1.
Right. It'll be interesting to see because the Cardinals have basically been able to run on
most
everyone.
Teams.
Yeah, almost everyone.
Except, I mean, obviously the Cleveland. And you know, when we talk about these things, you guys got to remember, like, just throw that Cleveland game out.
It's a completely different story. It's a completely different story by having James Conner in the lineup and what I wonder if Michael Carter will play this week. I'm guessing probably not. But if you have James Conner and Marty Mercado, that's a really nice duo. One, James Conner, yes. Anybody but Keontae Ingram these days, yes. and the possibility of what Michael Carter can bring, I'm really excited about that as running back depth and as a team
right.
that likes to that wants to use the run game in that fashion. And so I'm excited about what that can do if they can be the team that kind of cracks the code against that run defense. Because if you look at the run defense that they've had, they have given up fewer than 100 yards. So they gave up over 100 rushing yards in their first four games, but in their last five, no, they haven't reached the century mark. And the Cardinals, on the other hand, they have gone over 100 rushing yards in eight of their last nine.
Yeah. And you look at it, you know, it's interesting that they do a good job from the linebacking position in terms of coverage. So what do you think that means for Trey McBride? Do you think they can still exploit that matchup? Because I've got something that I'll you know, semi-spoiler that I'll talk about when we get to our prop bets. But Christian Harris and Blake Cashman have done a nice job in coverage this year, but I just don't think physically they match up well with McBride. You know, you look at the tight ends that they face this year, in a lot of games. You know, obviously Mark Andrews had a nice game. Evan Engram didn't play extremely well. And then you look at the Steelers and the Falcons and the Saints, and we know that those guys don't believe in tight ends, I guess. I don't know what their you know, thing is with that. But you've got – I feel like Evan Engram went for 7 for 67. I feel like that's a similar type of game that you could see from Trey McBride, despite the fact that they do have in Harris and Cashman good coverage backers. Because again, it's just real funny to me to look at all these numbers, man, because I just don't understand how they are 5-4 at this point. And I'm not trying to be mean, because like, that's why I said, it's just crazy to me that we're not, and I know a lot of teams are, and so, but like, we're not talking about more about what CJ Stroud's done this year, because it's baffling that they are that good when you look at what
there
other
are,
teams
are. They kind of the opposite of the Atlanta Falcons,
right,
where they have all this talent and the quarterback makes the quarterback play, you know, brings them down to a questionable team. And the Texans, on the other hand, have questionable talent at most spots, but the quarterback play is elevating everyone.
So one last thing on the tight end situation too. You look at it, 2 weeks ago, Cade Otton had 6 for 70 and 2 touchdowns. So like, it'll be interesting. And, you know, like I said, spoiler, we'll talk about it shortly.
Yes.
You know, and then the 3 tight ends for Cincy combined for 51 yards receiving. So like, it's not like they do a great job stopping the tight end. So yeah, I mean, this team lives and dies by what CJ Stroud does. And that's just a baffling thing to me that they're 5-4. And their rookie quarterback has been
yes,
bananas. And you look at their schedule the rest of the way, you know, 8 games left. Cardinals, Jaguars, who they blew out, Broncos, at the Jets, at the Titans, Browns, Titans again, and Colts. Like, you look at that and you could see them going 8-0. And you could see them going 0-8. Like, you literally could.
Absolutely. Because Denver's playing better. Jacksonville probably is not going to go down the way they did before. The Jets. Oh, that might be Aaron Rodgers.
Right, and they have a great defense still. You know, the Titans is the one game you look at. You're like, okay, they should win those two games. They play, they get them, you know, kind of
all the Browns.
Right,
I mean, the Browns have a great defense, but
right,
no more Deshaun Watson. So
I know. So yeah, so it's just crazy to see this because, you know, we went over it. Like, the names don't scare you. It, I mean, if you, let me ask you this, Jess. If you were like, look, you can have Dell Collins and Noah Brown, or you can have Hollywood, Michael Wilson, and Rondell Moore, you'd probably pick the Cardinals trio.
Yeah.
Just based on names. But, like, just what the Houston Texans trio of receivers has done, it literally is just mind-blowing to me right now. And, like, I was looking forward to talking about this because there's just – it's just – it doesn't make a lick of sense, man.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't, but that's what we've got coming up this Sunday. Coming up next on the Rise of Syria podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. It's time for predictions and prop bets. I'm guessing is your favorite part of the show. That's coming up next on Rise of Syria. We're back on the Rise of Syria podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Predictions and prop bets. Let's go with the props first. Now, the player prop started coming out on BetMGM. I'm a little disappointed in the fact that they don't have more, but I'm staring at one right now that I'm very puzzled as to why it's that low. But this is just that's not super juicy odds. It's your straight up, you know, even odds on either side. But Kyler Murray over the passing yard line is at 238.5, both the over and the under at -115. So, you know, you got a little bit of juice you got to pay there, but basically a standard split. And one, he had almost 250 last week. Should have had more. Like, you know, maybe I'm just giving Kyler, like, he should have done hitting. You should have hit Hollywood in the end zone. Elijah Higgins, that's not a play that he should drop. He was looking at 275 to 300 yards on two plays that made a difference. But the stat that I'm looking at is that the Texans, and I'm not looking at the individual starters, but I don't need to, because the net passing yards they've allowed 251 or more net passing yards in their last 2 weeks and four of the last five games, and that's their quarterback's passing yards, and then you subtract the sack yards. So if they had any sacks at all, the actual quarterback's passing numbers would be greater than that. That's how, you know, Clayton Tune was able to pass for 58 yards but end up with only 17 net passing yards because of the seven sacks. So they had 17 net passing yards that game. But so the last two games and four out of the last five and six of their nine games, I'm sorry, yeah, five of their nine games, but four of their last five, they've allowed 251 or more net passing yards. That seems like a slam dunk, just easy bet. It's not great odds, but it's not bad odds either. So that for sure.
And I like that you can take, and it's Thursday night when we're recording, so if you hear this Friday, go check the odds. 250 plus passing yards for Kyler's +110.
Take
so
that.
You get a
for sure,
little
for
better
sure.
juice for the extra yardage. And you know, spoiler alert, I think Jess and I think this is going to be a shootout. So so good chance that they continue to throw the ball. Rushing props. This is an interesting one that you look at, and we talked about the Kyler rushing props. They have corrected big time. He's at over under 29.5 yards. You had free money last week. Jess and I gave you free money, or Jess and Blake did, but I text Jess as well. I was like, free money, take Kyler's over. Like, it 13.5 was ridiculous. I get that they were worried about, but like, I don't think if he couldn't have moved, at all that they would have let him come back, right? Like
exactly. Just, I mean, that's exactly the case because everyone thought that the Cardinals were tanking this year anyway. So
right. So yeah. So that's not great this week. Oh, 30 yards. I think he covers that. If you want to take it, that's fine. But like Jess said, kind of with the passing, it's the juice isn't worth it. 40 gets to be too much. I'm usually 33 and a half is usually. Or 35, I guess, for if you want to make it easy math. 35 is about where I cut off for yards because you have to remember quarterback kneel downs count.
Yes, they do. That they do.
So if he gets to 40 and the Cardinals are winning and they kneel down twice, then you're back at 35 and you've lost. So, or even if so, you've lost that bet.
In that case, and maybe you just hope that they have Clayton to come in. To
right.
Do
exactly.
The kneel
downs. So if you want to take the over 29.5, I think that's fine. But just be ready. If you like to in-game play things, and I don't know how they're going to work this week, but last week I was able to snag him over 25 plus rushing yards later because he hadn't run the ball very much. And then he had the long 13 yard run to get him to what 38 and a half or 38, wherever he ended with last week. And so that's a smart play as the game's kind of progressing. Especially if it's a close game because you know Kyler's going to use his legs at some point to make a big play. So check that out live. But, you know, obviously that's not anything Jess and I can foresee the future on. Let me ask you this. Trey McBride coming off 130-yard performance, first Cardinals tight end in 900 years to go over 100 yards receiving. We just talked about the tight ends that the Texans have not been able to stop the last basically five games outside of Carolina. Trey McBride comes in at 54.5. It seems low, does it not?
I mean, it does, especially since from what it sounds like is he got that passing, he got that receiving production without the benefit of schemed ways getting him the ball. And maybe that goes against it. So game flow is kind of what determined that he got the ball on those cases. Would that then make it that variance much more, like, makes it a much more volatile selection because unless they're starting to scheme ways to get him the ball purposefully, I still think that he gets over, you know, especially since he's got, what is it, two games over 90 yards in the last three, right? And probably only the last four.
Right.
And so it's not a slam dunk, but it's definitely not bad.
No, obviously no gambling is a slam dunk. It feels like that is a interesting way to come off of, and I get it, he's not Mark Andrews, he's not Travis Kelce in terms of usage and yardage, but you know, he, outside of the Cleveland game where he, by the way, in Cleveland he still had three catches for 22 yards.
Yeah,
like
he was the bright spot.
And so I think you know, one of the things I've been eyeballing all week is kind of following along with his yardage. So obviously over 54.5. I do what we call a ladder. I don't know if I've ever brought this up before, but if you take his over 54.5, I would actually take his 70 and 80 numbers as well. Those are plus money, plus 155 for 70 plus, plus 235 for 80 plus yards. Like I said, the tight ends that they've gone against that are comparable from a skill set standpoint are going for about 70 a game on the Texans. And like we said, they don't do a great job on defense. And then Tank Dell, Nico Collins, not certain. Noah Brown, not on the board with Nico Collins being expected to play right now. But again, he's been nicked up for the last couple of weeks. When you look at Dell's number 58.5, have you felt at all this year like the Cardinals have been able to hold down a wide receiver one?
No.
And
I'm
so
trying to think back to anyone that was worth anything.
Right.
No.
And so I get the aspect of rookie stuff. That's tough. But 54.5, Tank has cleared, or 50, is it 58?
It's 58.5 on BetMGM.
Yeah, it's so. 58.5. 58.5. He's been at 56 or higher six of the nine games this season. I like that number. And I was telling Jess before, if you're feeling saucy, I like to parlay a single game parlay of alternate odds of Tank Dell yards and Trey McBride receiving yards. I think I want to make sure I get this right. I think if you go 80 plus for both, it's plus 750. Yeah, plus 750 on DraftKings. 80 receiving yards for both. You know, small fries bet type of thing, but like a $5 bet wins you $42.50 on the other end. So not a bad day at the office. So those are the ones I like. I would stay away from any sack individual defensive stats this week. I don't like them. I don't know how you feel. Like I said, neither team does a great job of rushing the passer consistently. And yeah, in fact, there are none on DraftKings at this moment, whereas the last couple weeks there have been a lot.
I don't have any defense. And sacks is not one that I've ever seen on BetMGM.
Yeah, DraftKings has them quite often. So,
what do you think of the kicking props this week?
Looking at it, Prater's intrigues me with his over 2.5 field goals. Like I said, I think this is going to be a shootout.
Oh, so here's one to like if you don't like the over 2.5, because it's over 1.5 field goals made for Prater at plus 100.
Yeah, and it's at actually plus 105 on DraftKings. So if you're not feeling the point afters being made, then go ahead and snag those field goals made, because again, I think points are going to come in this game. And so if you're like Jess and I would suggest that. I would stay away from Amendola in terms of his kicking points, because 7.5 worries me, because I truly think that they're going to be able to score touchdowns on the Cardinals.
Yeah. And that's a lot of points to get for touchdowns.
Right. So yeah, 7.5 is plus 100. That gets you that basically means you have like you need the Cardinals to get two stops inside the 30 to force field goals on top of the, you know, probably two or three touchdowns they'll give up. So I don't like that number, because I think that he's going to get to, I mean, semi-spoiler, I think he's going to get to 7 points on the day. And so I don't want to get caught on that hook of 7.5. So I'd take Prater, definitely take over field goals made 1.5. And I would actually play his over point after attempts at 2.5 as well. That's plus 154 on DraftKings.
Now, does DraftKings have touchdown scores, anytime touchdowns props yet? Because BetMGM does not. Because the one thing now, one game of Kyler Murray, and we see that Clayton Tune is the short yardage quarterback. You now have to think hard about Clayton
anytime,
Tune as an anytime touchdown, because those are going to be likely really high odds.
Yeah, and he's not listed on DraftKings right now. I don't know if he's listed on yours.
Well, we don't have any touchdown props yet. Any player touchdown props on ours?
Yeah,
on
so we've yet. got a lot. He's just not one of them. So which is disappointing because I think that's a hedge from them to make sure that they don't get burned.
I mean,
because what I mean, let me ask you this. All right, so anytime touchdown scorer, let's just put Amari DiMercato. You know, fringe. Going to play this week, but a backup. He's plus 550. You would have that range.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Right?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Between 550 and 750, because I don't think you could put him lower. Now, let me ask you this one. This is a really interesting one to me. The Cardinals defense special teams is plus 650 to score a touchdown. That seems outrageously low, like in the sense of like they haven't had a defensive or special teams touchdown all season. CJ Stroud doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, we literally just gushed about the fact that he does not turn the ball over. And plus 650, like how is it basically the same money to bet the Cardinals defense or special teams to score a touchdown as Keontae Ingram? Like, it that doesn't make a lick of sense to me. I don't know how you feel about that, but I would stay away from that completely. If you're inclined to bet those things every once in a while, I would not touch
right,
that
doesn't, like, doesn't that, make any sense.
It that's got to be like a plus 1800 for me to want to play it, because it's not worth it. I'm looking at it. The other one that's off the board now for the Cardinals, which our buddy Kyle Odegaard had a field day with the week of the Browns game, no touchdown scored. Off the board finally. So all we can say is welcome back, Kyler.
Yes. That's some fun stuff. It's really good. Now, predictions for this game. It sounds like you are predicting a slightly higher scoring game than I am. I picked on my underdogs column for Sportsbook Wire. I have one of my three picks. Now, I went over one to start because the Bengals did not cover the spread against the Ravens, so over one. But I have the Cardinals covering because at plus 4.5, I think this is going to be a 3 or a 4 point game ultimately. I am not convicted enough to say which team wins, but I think it'll be 28-24, whatever the score is. And so either way, the Cardinals cover the spread or they win the game. I don't know if the Cardinals have the juice to get to 30, but maybe, and it sounds like you think one of the teams will get to 30, do you?
Yeah, I have this one going 31-28 to the Houston Texans. And I look at this game more as whoever has the ball last is going to win this game. And so I'm just taking the home team in this instance and saying that the Cardinals either tie it up late or aren't able to convert. And on the flip side, DJ Stroud, much like that Bucs game, is able to lead a great drive, get them in field goal range, and allows their kicker to do his thing. And so I wouldn't be surprised if it was flipped, by the way, like if the Cardinals,
right.
I truly do think this is whoever has the ball last is going to win this game. At least that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that the Cardinals continue to trend upwards with Kyler, especially offensively. I don't have high expectations for the defense, and I think you feel the same way at this point.
Yeah. Like,
We understand their limitations from just an ability standpoint. So if you're asking me, I would not play a money line bet on this one. I would take the Cardinals to cover, especially anything over 4.5.
Yes. 4.5 is like, if it were 3, I'm like, no, but that 4.5, I like that because I think a 3 or 4 point game makes sense with an end of game type drive. I will say this. Okay, I won't predict the Cardinals win. I'll say it'll be 28-24 Texans. I'm going to say that. But they cover. But they
cover, and I think both of you and I agree take the over in this
yes.
one.
Yes.
Which
I
means
think this one
it's
easily
going to
goes
be
into the 50s.
Yeah, which means it's going to be 13-15 when these things go.
Yes, because betting is dumb. All right, so we've got 31-28 for Seth. You've got 28-24 to me. You've got a few bets you can make, and you can also check out RevengeOfTheBirds.com later in the week and CardsWire.com later in the week. My prop bets article I usually do on Saturday, might be Sunday morning. Seth, what day do you put up your props?
Yeah, Saturday morning as well. We get them up there so you can enjoy the games. The biggest thing I recommend to people is that, you know, obviously money that you can afford to lose, obviously, but it does make it enjoyable to sit there and see things that you're betting on. So if you don't want to ever bet against the Cardinals, don't bet on the Texans. Just don't do it. Like, don't. But on the flip side, don't hate bet against the Texans either. Like, oh, CJ yeah. Stroud is going to have an interception. Dude's thrown two all season. Don't bet him to throw an interception. It's not worth it. It's not a wise way to spend your money. If you want to do that, buy Jess Cherry Coke and me a beer, and we'll spend your money that way.
That totally. With that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web, episode 47. This show obviously is dropping on Friday. I will have Mark Lane from Texans Wire for our behind enemy lines, our enemy, the however you want to call it, but it's the from the other side perspective preview show that will drop on Saturday. He's one of the guys I who's been on the show before. So be looking for that. Seth and I will be back next week. Talking about the game. Recording Tuesday night, hitting Thursday, Wednesday morning, and then for the rest of the week, we'll have to wait and see because, you know, it's the holiday. So after that, we definitely have a show dropping Saturday, have a show dropping on Wednesday. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.